I had a little funny experience with that rain. I haven't shared this with anybody. It was not raining at 4 o'clock in the morning one day this week when I got to where I picked my truck up. And of course, you have to do a walk around. I got out of the car and it started raining hard. I was like, are you kidding? I'm doing my thing. I get back in the truck and the rain stopped. I pull over to the fuel pump, get out of the truck, and it starts raining. Get back in the truck, rain stops. Go 6 miles up the mountain to pick up my trailer. It's now almost 5 o'clock in the morning. I get out to hook up to the trailer. It starts raining. Hard! And that takes a little bit of work there to hook up to the trailer. Get back in the truck and the rain stops. And at one point, I wanted to just open the door and shut it real quick to see if a few drops came and stopped. I laughed all morning long because of that. Joy. We have things to talk about, and we're going to get to that later on in the sermon. But for right now, let us just join our hearts together and find God in this moment. And whatever is on your heart, whatever it is that you have not spoken of yet, just that hand up and down as we join together. Thank you. Let us put our hearts forward. Heavenly Father, if we have many things to think about, but two things is Jesus and family. We beg your forgiveness of our sins as we prepare this morning, but let us just go right into the requests, which are thank you for the glorious blessings. Many are still happening today, this moment. Many more will happen by the time we leave here. Yet today, Father, thank you. We ask you to be with those who are going to go through tests or whatever medical reason. We thank you for protection of the flock, that even though they were going through their own moment, they found their way back. And for protection through our daily lives, as simple as walking up a sidewalk or preparing to drive 200-300 miles away, or going and coming from seeing family and driving back. Father, you protect us. You watch over us. We ask you to continue to bless that. For those that are suffering infirmities of the mind and body and unable to be with us today, and for loved ones that we have that aren't in church, that don't know church, that are suffering, Father, use this to teach them it's always better to know you. Upon the prayer requests written, laid out, thank you. And for marriage in this day and age, 62 years. For your institution, one man, one woman. Thank you, Father. Hear us as we pray the way Jesus would teach us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory, and the glory forever. Amen. And so, I'm not forgetful. Turn around in your seats and join with me at the count of three of wishing Mark Keener happy birthday, because it's coming up. Mark, you got a birthday coming up. What, are you going to be 18? 19, something like that. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday. I changed a few words in this song. If you know the song, you'll know what words I changed. If you don't, then it'll just sound really cool. This is a secular song, but it's a Christian overtone. And it's going to set our mood here a little bit today. Where were you? Maybe I better use it. I've been talking too much. I'm running my voice out. Where were you when the world stopped turning that September day? Were you out in the yard with your wife and children, working on a stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black cloud rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger or fear for your neighbor, or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones, pray for the ones that they don't know? Did you rejoice for people who walked from the rubble and sobbed for the ones left below? Did you burst out with pride at the red, white, and blue and the heroes who died doing what they do? Did you look to the heaven for some kind of answer, or look to yourself and what really matters? I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are the good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning that September day? Teaching a class full of innocent children, or driving down some cold interstate? Did you feel guilty 'cause you're a survivor? In a crowded room, did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you love her and dust off that old Bible at home? Did you close your eyes, hope it never happened? Close your eyes and not go to sleep. Did you notice the sunset for the first time in ages, or speak with some stranger on the street? Did you lay down at night and think of tomorrow, go out and buy you a gun? Did you turn off that violent old movie you're watching, or turn on Andy Griffith reruns? Did you go to church and hold hands with a stranger, stand in line and give your own blood? Did you just stay home and cling tight to your family and thank God you'd had somebody to love? I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I don't think I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are the good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. I'm just a preacher of simple words. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I don't think I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are the good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. And the greatest is love. And the greatest is love. Where were you on that bright September morning? Do you know today? I heard a couple of you laugh and said, you know which words I changed. The original song said, I Love Lucy reruns, but I don't like Andy Griffith. Turn with me in your Bibles, please. Luke chapter 17. Let us pray. Father, I ask for strength to bring His Word today. I ask that You bless this message and that You fill the hearts of those gathered here with what words You want spoken. I ask that as we go through this day, we go through it with the lesson these Scriptures will teach. In Jesus' perfect, precious name, amen. We're going to go in a new direction today. You know, when I became a pastor, I said to myself, I'm not going to make it so that I'm always the same. Yeah, for the most part, when you see me preach, you hear me, well, I've got a kind of a outline or a theory that I follow or whatever you want to call it, a form, a direction, and I tell you a story. We take a car ride. We get in the car, we drive around, and we come home. That's how I put a sermon together. We always come back home at the end of the sermon, but I've always told myself when a need called for it, we're going to change, and today we change. Today it's different. You see, I did not want to talk about September 11th at all. But my mind got changed. That's how it goes. And I began to see a bigger picture of it, and I began to see that, guess what? As the words of some older preachers that I know ring in my ears, every time I hear it, you are not in charge of the church. You, boy, are the servant of the people. What you decide does not matter. And so today we change things a little bit. Luke chapter 17, starting in the 11th verse, a forgotten story. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. As you're quite well aware of by now, there's no notes up here. There's no paper with where I'm supposed to go, but I know what I'm doing. Sometimes. Today things are different. It must have been a beautiful morning. balmy, warm, the kind of morning that you'd really just wake up and you're like, woohoo, man. You can smell the air. Everything about you is beautiful. And as these men and women went about their job, they didn't have a thought in the air. They didn't think about anything. Go here, do this. Go here, do that. Take care of this. Fix that. Whatever has to be done. They had no idea that things were about to change. And at 7 minutes after 8, death came from the air in waves. Shouting, screaming, explosions. People being wounded, people dying. And it didn't stop. It continued to come on and come on and come on. And people were left destroyed and struck and shocked over how such peace could suddenly be shattered in an instant. And as quickly as it started, it was over. And the Japanese Air Force flew away. December 7th, 1941. 70 years ago, December. We've forgotten. Some of you are old enough, and I'm not trying to get in trouble, it's a fact of the truth. Some of you, I think, are old enough to remember probably hearing a radio report or something like that, or maybe somebody run in and told you. But over time, it has been forgotten. You ask any child today, say in junior high school on up, just walk up to them out of clear blue sky and go, December 7th, 1941, what happened? I don't know. A date that will live in infamy? I don't know. My grandfather was there on the Missouri. 70 years later, 2,800 men and women innocently taken. We've almost forgotten. So today, lest we forget, lest we take a moment here to remember, it was my stupidity that almost led me not to do this. Because I didn't think that it was worthy of our time to sit and remember this, because everybody keeps forgetting December 7th, and then suddenly, through prayer, through asking, it came forward. So today we change the sermon a little bit. For the next however long it takes, briefly. Anybody who wants to get up where you're at, if you can get up, may share briefly where you were and what you were doing, if you'd like to. I'll start. I want to hear you remember. I was at a business meeting in West Friendship, Maryland, at Ditch Witch of Maryland, for construction equipment. I was going there. I was there with BG&E, Baltimore Gas and Electric, Potomac Edison, Asplund Tree Expert Company, all kinds of drilling companies, large and small, all in the working of construction field. And Ditch Witch of Maryland put on an all-day seminar on safe working procedures and underground construction and all kinds of stuff. And my assistant walked in at 9 o'clock in the morning to bring me two sets of plans that I was going to look at while we were going through class. He said, hey, some fool just clipped the tire in an airplane and walked out. 15 minutes later, the class came to a screeching halt as the TV was flipped on and we found out it wasn't no little airplane. We were under attack. I grabbed for my phone, and if any of you, when you're sharing memories, may remember this, I couldn't get a call out to my wife, who was in Baltimore at the time. She happened to have presence of mind to come by. I don't think you ever heard from me on the phone, did you? Huh? You knew where I was because I had talked about it. And she came by and spent the rest of the day at the seminar with me. But I couldn't call my mom, dad, couldn't call anybody. Then I sent her home, and after the seminar was finished, because we continued working, I went home and saw what happened. To this day, in my archives of junk, I still have the class papers and the brochure and even a set of the plans I was working on when I got the news tucked away. How about you? Wherever you were, whatever, stand up and share if it's of your desire about September 11th. Go ahead, Marvin.
I work for a lab out here around the airport, and I was working at one airport, and someone came in and said, "Did you hear what happened?" And all kind of confused and kind of put over the whole place at that time. And someone got a television and set it up, and as the events went on, I don't think it worked with getting at all, because everybody was so wondering what was happening. But we had a man back in the grinding room, all dusty and dirty, and he just happened to be an elder of a church of the man God at the time, Warren Hurst. And they gathered everybody into a room. And I'm lucky enough to work for a place that the owner of the business is a Christian. He used to be a deacon of this church around 40. But everybody kind of gathered around in this, this biggest room we had. And Warren came out. And I can't tell you the exact words he said. But the gist of the whole thing was God's in control. Everything's going to be all right. He will bring good out of this situation. Then he had prayer with everybody. And it just seemed like the darkness and the confusion left. Yes, it was still tall. The people got back to work. There was a sense of peace and calm. And I just thank the Lord for that man. It was his birthday. He was 70 years old that day. I talked to him last week, and I told him, I said, "I'll never forget your birthday." So it was a tough day, but it also turned out to be a day of peace and joy, and knowing that everything was going to be okay. Now, probably 50% of the people in that room was agnostic or didn't believe or whatever. But for that moment, maybe 5 or 10 minutes, they were all believers. And I was thankful for having someone there and having a business that was open to that type of talk or whatever, you know, being part of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. I'm serious, briefly. If you want to share, I want to hear it. Go ahead, Margaret.
Well, I want to share about both of them, but I was in the kitchen, and Greg was in the front room, he came on, and he said, "Come here, look at this." And, you know, the tariffs are being hit with the one airplane, and I went up in there with me cut and watch, and then the second one came and hit it. So, you know, that was, I mean, we watched it all the time. And it was really hurt for me. I felt so sorry for people. But I remember Pearl Harbor Day. We were in the same house, the same living room. And we had company. His aunt, uncle, and aunt were there. And the team on the radio had the TV about to.
Thank you, Margaret.
And, so, you know, that was really a sad day. I guess because I was younger, you know, I don't know, but it's something that I believe me because I was younger. To me, it was worse that day to me than it was the other one, but there was, you know, the difference was pretty much worse than the second time. But it's just some of the things that you remember.
Thank you, Margaret. Go ahead, Glenn. I kind of figured.
So, I had just got out of the military about 2 weeks ago, someone leave in the service. I was in bed, catching up with his breath. My wife came in the bedroom. She said, first time I got a plane and left the room. I was confused. I had no clue what was going on. I've been running downstairs to the TV, my parents' house. And we're sitting there just in awe, watching this show and just not understanding what's really going on, what's happening. Mass confusion, just not getting it. Looking at each other, wondering what's next. No one knows any of what's going on. Luckily enough for us, I came and everything turned out okay for us, but I just remember watching, remembering how our lives could have been so different. It was unfortunate to be sick.
Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Sherry.
Forward that up. As you said, he had just gotten out 11 days. He actually wasn't technically out. We were still a military family at that point. He was on leave from leave that had been saved up over years, which he wouldn't have technically been out until October 2nd. So he was still a part of the military, which is why he would get that call, checking on where you are and all that, and checking on you. And there's a lot of decisions to start thinking about at that time, because now it's a whole other situation. You think, okay, I've done my tours, I've done my service, and I'm wanting to move on with my life. And then that moment comes, and you start to reevaluate that real quick, like, and in a hurry, as many other military families did, and ones who were not military at the time but became military families because of that event. So we had those decisions to make as well. And the only reason that he didn't stay a part of the military that day and rescind all the decisions we'd already made and move from Georgia to Pennsylvania, where he was stationed, was because of an injury that Glenn has that would have kept him from being able to fire a firearm. So it's one of those situations where I thank my lucky stars and God every time I think about that situation, because where I would have been proud of him had he decided, hey, I have to stick this through, I have to stay and go on, we have to change our plan here. It's also very poignant to me. I'm very thankful that he is still here today, because while we would have done that and been very proud to do that, I also know that I may only have him today for an injury that he had that made him not be able to stay. They actually, you know, it wasn't feasible for him to. That's why he was coming out. Because if you can't fire a weapon, what good are you to your country and yourself? So I am always very thankful of that in a very guilty way. And I just have to get that off my heart, because I think about that and I think about, wow, you know, that one little thing might be the only reason he's sitting here today. So while I would have been proud to continue to serve this country, I'm also thankful that he's still here.
Amen.
So thank you for that.
I'm going to deviate slightly from your request. I'll just say I was in the fire station. Those of you who know me since I was a kid pretty much know I was always in the fire station. I was there when that happened. But I want to take you to New York City at that moment and share with you a couple of stories that you're not going to hear locally. One of them you may, or a historian of that tragic event. But in the New York City Fire Department, they have a priest who is a uniformed fire person. He is a Catholic priest who has a sanctuary and a church in New York City. But he is also the sworn official priest of the New York City Fire Department. Priest because the roots go way back into Roman Catholicism. There's a lot of Catholics in the fire department. But he has a department car, and he is actually dispatched to respond on Michael Judge was one of the first to be killed. He was in his priest attire, actually, at that time. He had not put on his fire department uniform. And he was praying in the front of the one tower, obviously for the firemen and the whole situation. And as the building started to collapse and things started to fall, the fireman tried to get him to move, and he refused. He wouldn't move out of the way. And eventually a piece of glass came down and killed him. There are photographs of a combination of civilians and firefighters carrying his body away from the front before the towers actually collapsed. So a little history there as we think about our pastor and all the pastors that you know, don't have such a responsibility, but, you know, just who would ever think. But another story that I'll share with you is that just as I'm sure the soldiers at Pearl Harbor knew the magnitude of what had happened and that was just the beginning, the firemen, especially the upper echelon of the New York City Fire Department that responded to the towers, knew very well while they were en route the potential for those buildings to collapse. Those buildings were not designed for an aircraft of that size with that load of fuel to fly into them in the upper stories. They were designed to, as any of us would probably think, withstand a small aircraft. If you remember history, one actually hit the Empire State Building one time, and nothing happened. They were designed to withstand that type of impact, but not a giant commercial airliner, which was packed full of fuel. And it was the heat from the fuel that melted the steel that ultimately, once the building started to collapse, the building below it couldn't withstand the weight and it came down. The point is, the upper echelon of the fire department knew the potential for that when they were responding. The one story that is told quite often around fire department headquarters, it's a true story. That's where I actually have the opportunity to work now. Several of the upper echelon were responding out of there, and everybody knew how horrific the situation was. The gentleman who was the bureau chief for the section that I now work in got on the elevator with some of the other officers from the very section where I work, and the office girls and the clerical staff who still work there today remember wishing them the best when the elevator doors closed and they never saw them alive again. Other officers, the deputy commissioner of the fire department was walking with the chief of the fire department out through the lobby, and the comment was made from the deputy commissioner to the chief, because the deputy commissioner at the time was in his 70s. He was a diehard fire person, and the deputy commissioner and the commissioner don't really have a sworn retirement age. They serve at the will of the mayor and they can stay however. He's in his 70s. And he looked to the chief of the department and he said, "Chief, you realize this will be the worst day in this department's history." Both of those men died, neither one of them was wrong. So I just want to share a few stories from up there, because it's one thing to be back here and having that happen, and it's sad to us. But there are people up there today that are very scarred from that incident, and we'd probably just assume not to remember it. But I just wanted to share those three incidents from up there.
I ask that as you go through the rest of the day, call somebody and tell them you love them. We look at this scripture, and the reason I chose it is because 10 men suffered from leprosy. 9 forgot instantly that they had been healed. One of the things that I saw come out of September 11th was the return to God and prayer. I'm not talking about Allah or whatever Hindu or Buddha. It was God, it was prayer, it was unto Jesus, it was a strengthening. As time has passed, we've forgotten that again. See, Jesus, when he looked down, he saw 10 sick men. One remembered to say thank you. 9 didn't. As we try to remember, or as the days come forward, we put this in a memory file and hold it back. Use that. It was my hope for this sermon, to remind you that you are still God's child. Too often we get caught up in the frailties of life, what's going on, and get so clouded in our focus, we forget right here. We get taken away, we stop coming, whatever reason. Oh, I'm too tired, I'm too busy, I can't. There are those times, I understand that. But after a while, we start forgetting that we're one of His children. And the further away we get, the harder it is to remember. 9 men ran away from Jesus, never remembering. 1 did. Paul wrote these words, and we said them this morning, and I had to laugh. When we opened with our call to worship straight out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put my childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Let us remember the love. I see the joy come out of it. I don't sit down to endeavor to remember it every minute, but at a 10-year mark, we do. Because the things I want us to remember is what God gave us. Prayer in a lab, drawing closer to family, a priest, who wouldn't let go. We are a church family. In our darkest moment, in our hardest hours, in what destroys us the most, we still have God, we still have Jesus, we still have prayer. We can still remember. Let us not forget as Christians. Excuse me. That would be my hope on this day, on this anniversary. That in the week to come, something pops up that makes you almost forget that you're a Christian. Who knows what it'll be? Maybe you're angry. Maybe you'll get mad. Maybe you'll get impatient. Maybe you'll just forget for a moment. Let us not forget. Let us know the joy as written by the Hebrew writers. He wrote these words. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Let us not forget those who gave all, those who innocently left, those who rushed in. Let us not forget that at that point in time, God became center focus again, and prayer was offered up. Let us not forget that He still is the God of a country founded upon Him and Jesus Christ. Let us not forget that He still stands waiting, open arm, open handed, to lead us back when life has destroyed us almost to the breaking point. Can you say amen to that? Let us remember. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this day and for this moment. Thank You for the voices which have shared and for the wisdom put forth. Church on Sunday morning, Father, is not just about the minister. It's about the Word and wherever it comes from and whatever time we use it to grow. However we use it to grow. Thank You for my brothers and sisters that are here and have shared and bared. And for those that haven't, perhaps they will to a sister, brother, close friend. But I'm thankful that they are here today looking for You yet still, opening their hearts and minds to hear Your Word yet again, remembering lest we forget. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As we sing the last hymn, I read a very interesting statement. Get a hold of the Gospel Messenger, or the messenger, not the Gospel Messenger, the Church of Brother Messenger. More and more ministers are forgetting altar calls. Not me. They feel that it makes people uncomfortable to ask them to come up to the front for extra prayer. I beg you are uncomfortable to the point that you need that extra prayer, that you need that strengthening, that you need something that perhaps right here with all your family praying you can get. As we sing this last hymn, if you don't know Jesus, if you need strengthening, if you need prayer for whatever reason, please come forward and share with me.
Please stand and turn to page 491.
Jesus, Lord.